It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Presented by nowandthenmagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited about today's show. I have a very special guest here, a very down-to-earth small town, Hudson's Bay, Saskatchewan girl. Her story is chocked full of determination, hope, and dreams. It hasn't been an easy journey for this artist, and music has been her heart and her soul. And to know exactly what her story is, we're going to talk about today. So a very, very special story, and I'd like to welcome my guest, Kelsey Kulik. How are you?
Hi, I'm so good. How are you?
Very good. Really happy to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this has been such a big journey, and I think that it's important that some of the fans that may not know you, I'd like to be able to talk a little bit about your journey and how it all started when you were younger and what led you up until you were 13, if that's okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had a really, really tough journey in the beginning, and you know, I think that a lot of fans out there, and I know myself included, can understand that journey and how hard it was for you. So when you started music, what was your influence in the beginning?
When I first started singing, I loved listening to Shania Twain, all the 90s country queens like Faith Hill, Leanne Womack, the Dixie Chicks, and you know, all those good old 90s country girls. But also my grandpa was a huge country music fan, and he always made me listen to, not made me, but he always showed me Dolly Parton and Patsy Cline and all those women as well, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash.
The great storytellers.
Yes, exactly. And so I really had a good influence and a good knowing of what country music was at a young age.
What was your desire to learn to play guitar and sing?
I just always loved it, you know. My mom, like my family, they, you know, played guitar and they sang all the time around campfires. And my mom did some competitions and stuff when I was younger. And I did competitions. I mean, I started singing when I was 3. So, wow. I mean, it was just kind of like a natural kind of thing for me, right? So I sang karaoke and then I learned how to play guitar and then I started writing my own songs. And so it was just kind of, you know, it was what I was supposed to do in my mind, you know?
You can tell when you're singing, and it is so exciting to watch you perform because you always know when somebody is really natural on the stage and is born to do that. You just seem to have that natural ability to perform. It's not something that's taught. And I think,
thank you.
I think that shows very, very well, you know, when we see you on stage today. So when you were 13, you really went through a pretty rough time. Tell us about that.
Do you mean when I was diagnosed with cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that was when I was 17, actually.
Oh, 17.
So,
okay, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No worries.
Because you were doing 13. A lot of competitions at 13 where you really had a chance there with your career.
Yeah, so I was doing a ton of competitions when I was 12, 13 years old. I mean, I did competitions a lot, actually, which is kind of funny because when I was younger, I hated competitions because I never won any. Not that you, like, you know, not that it was about winning, but, you know, it was always, you know, I was kind of felt defeated, right? Because I did competitions all year round every year since I was 3. But when I was 17, I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was kind of at that point for me where I was, you know, figuring out, okay, am I going to go to school or am I going to do music full time? And then I was diagnosed with cancer. And I went through 6 months of chemotherapy. And it was, you know, just really eye awakening. And I'm all better now, obviously. But it just gave me that, you know, perspective where, you know what, I'm going to do what I love for the rest of my life, and that's music.
What did writing mean to you, during that time? Because, you know, Hodgkin's, it's not an easy cancer to begin with. That was a pretty tough call at 17 years old. You're just at that point in your life where, you know, starting to figure things out and just starting to really enjoy your life as a teen.
Yeah, you know what, writing to me during that time especially was super cathartic. I would have a rough day at the hospital, and you know, because you sit and you talk to everybody who's going through chemo, because you're all in the same room anyways. That's how it was when I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear about people's stories, and some people, you know, wouldn't make it to the next appointment, and you come home and you just be so sad because you know, you're just kind of wondering, like, man, what is this? What is this? What is this teaching me? Like, what? Why is life so hard sometimes for some people? And so I'd just sit down and I'd write songs, and you know, I'd just get everything off of my chest. And yeah, it was just it was really, you know, writing was pretty much the one thing that really saved me. It was
really
my mental state. Yeah.
Because I know that journaling is so important, because it is hard for other people to understand, if it's a friend of yours or people that are, that know you from the neighborhood, and that they may know you have it, but until you go through it, it's a different point of view altogether. And that's why it's so easy to talk to the people that are going through it with you, that are in the hospital, and you see that you're not the only one. So I know that this story really carried an awful lot of weight when it comes to a lot of young girls that I've heard from, and meant so much, your courage and what it brought out in your songwriting. And I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, because I was dealing with a lot of cancer patients for a very long period of time. So I do relate quite a bit to what you've gone through. And it does change you. But I think, you know what, we learn so much from it and we become so much stronger.
Totally.
And amazing the drive that we have after to live, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, your very first song that we're going to talk about today is With You. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness, With You. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago I put that song out. So I was signed to your record label. I mean, whenever I released that song, I can't even remember what year that was.
2014.
Well, thank you for reminding me. 2014. So I signed a record deal with a really small label in Calgary in 2013, maybe 2012. And we ended up, you know, recording an album together and releasing With You for radio. The label wanted me to release something that was like up tempo and had like, it was kind of me exploring who I was as an artist. And also the producer that I was working with, you know, kind of put his spin on my songs, right? So, I mean, I wouldn't say that that was like my favorite release ever, to be honest with you. I actually really didn't love it, but, you know, it was a good learning lesson for me. You know, but there seemed to be people that liked that song. So, you know, but it was kind of like the beginning of my real journey releasing my first bit of music.
Yeah, because you went on a whirlwind tour at that point, and I know that CMT picked up your video, you know, for that one as well. So let's just play that song right now for everybody, just to remind everybody of the journey where it all began.
A dusty country road, always too young to know what love's all about. A pretty sunset sky that lit up your brown eyes. Didn't have a doubt. That night we were young and free, and from then on you had me. Young and wild, with you, with you. Oh, there's no one else I'd rather be with me.
From 2014, that is With You. I'm John Marshall. You're listening to Music's Journey, the podcast on musicsjourney.com. Now back to our interview with your host, Kim Sear.
That was a part of your first EP. I think you, did you have part one, part two?
Just part one and part two,
part
yeah.
Part two, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you were on this tour, how did it come around? You know, when you were 19, you went off to Las Vegas. Tell us about that story.
When I was 19, I was introduced to the producer of Fleetwood Mac. You're kind of like, my grandpa knew somebody who knew somebody. He listened to my music and he was like, hey, you know, I've always wanted to pass down my knowledge to somebody. Would you be interested in learning about production and
pretty
songwriting
awesome.
And all that stuff? Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty amazing because he produced Rumors and Tusk and Tango in the Night and Mirage, like all of these huge records, right? And so it was just, I mean, for 3 years, he sat me down in front of the speakers and would teach me about like all the classics and, you know, all the new music. And we would songwrite every day. It was just absolutely insane, but it was the coolest thing ever.
God, that must have been such a journey, you know, to know the stories and, you know, just that caliber of a producer, because Richard Dashwood is just an amazing person altogether. But when he believes in somebody, he really believes in somebody, and he had a very special spot in his heart for you.
Yeah, I was really lucky. He said some pretty unbelievable things about how he believes in me in the time that I've known him. And, you know, I always kind of, you know, shake my head and roll my eyes because, you know, Richard and I had that relationship where it was like, you know, he would say something like, you're the first person that reminds me of the Stevie Nicks, like the star quality. Mm-hmm. And I would just roll my eyes because I'm like, no, you're crazy. And he's like, I know that you think I'm crazy and we're close enough, you know, that you can really rise at me. He's like, but I'm actually know what I'm talking about. So you should take that as a huge compliment.
Well, I think he like, said, yeah, because I think he said something to the fact that, you know, as soon as he saw Stevie and as soon as he saw Lindsay, he knew, you know, in his gut that those were the two that he needed to work with. And he said the same thing about you.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome.
It's a pretty huge compliment, that's for sure. He's a very, very wonderful man.
What happened with your styling of writing? If you were sitting writing with him every day, what did you notice was the biggest change for you?
From then to now?
When you started to write in the beginning, in the first part of your career, and then when you sat down with Richard, yeah.
I think it was just all, you know, the more hours that you put into it, the better you get, right? I mean, I was always very prolific. I always loved to songwrite a song. I've written songs since I was 13. And so when I first sat down to write with him, it was like every day, every day, every day. So it was just kind of like, you know, putting in the time and, you know, figuring out just the difference between writing like a poem and a song, you know?
Do you write title first and then the song, or do you do it differently?
Oh, it depends. Sometimes I have the title, and then sometimes I have an idea. Sometimes I have a melody. Sometimes I have a lyric. Sometimes I have a guitar part. It just really, you know,
depends.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to us about Rewind, because I know that you released that one in 2015, and we're going to play that and then come back and talk about the style of this song. It's such a unique song. So let's play this one right now, and this is Rewind by Kelsey Kulick.
Been a long time since I've seen your face, and it takes me back into a different time. Where the coffee's hot and ice cream's cold, but I want to see some more, so let's rewind. Where he took my hand and kissed my cheek and gave me wings to feel like I could fly. Where he broke my heart and lied to me and showed me just how magic dies. Falling into you, broke my life the way you should. But said hello, and everywhere she looked, she only saw the very good. Then one day you came and took it all away. You even took her peace of mind. But I wanna see some more, so just sit back and watch while I rewind. Just press play, forget about that damn rewind.
Rewind back to 2015 for that song from Kelsey Kulick and Rewind. If you're a singer, a band, or manager, contact Effects Media for photography, artwork for posters, events, or album covers. We handle it all. Email info at effects with an A, media.com. Now back to Music's Journey with your host, Kim Sear.
This was something a lot different than the first record, or like the first song that we played. And this had more of a Americana feel to it with the banjo, and you could really picture what it was like for that person, you know, when you have your heart broken and being able to put it behind you and move on, and the courage that it takes, you know, to be able to walk away from a bad experience, even though you knew it was an experience it wasn't good for you to begin with. And, you know, being able to walk away from it. Talk to us about writing that song.
Yeah, you know, honestly, that song, I listened to the first record, the first part one and part two of the EP, and it really just wasn't the direction that I wanted to go with my music. And so, you know, I wrote Rewind, and we got it produced. And it was just like, I literally sat down and I wrote that song in maybe 20 minutes.
Oh,
I was
really?
Literally, I used to sit in my parents' bathroom, actually, and I would like, you know, put the toilet lid down and sit on the toilet, and I would write songs because there was really good acoustics in the bathroom.
I know. That's what, so, you know, we keep saying, you know, do we need to do the podcast in there, right?
Yeah, totally. But seriously, though, so I would always write my songs in the bathroom, and I wrote Rewind in like 20 minutes and sent it over, and everybody loved it. And so we got it produced, and it really was just one of those songs that I wasn't really thinking too much about it. I just wanted, it was just like that thing where I had a guitar riff, and then I just started writing words and melody to it, and people loved it. So, you know, just kind of one of those like carefree songs, I guess, you know.
It's very lighthearted, but at the same time, so many people can relate to, and I think that's why fans connected to that song, you know, so easily, because, you know, it's part of life's journey, and it's something that happens to every one of us, whether you're, you know, male or female, right? And, you know, I think it was just such a great song and such a unique style. And that's when I think you really started to come out to your own.
Oh, definitely. I would say that, you know, that's kind of where I went, like more of the direction of, you know, where I wanted to. Because after that, after the Rewind release, I was living in Nashville. And then, like, I had just gotten to Nashville. And then I started on my journey to where I am now.
What was it like when you first hit Nashville? What was that feeling you had when you first got there?
I was like full of nerves. I was just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Why am I so far away from home? And, you know, like, is this a bad idea? But you know, I ended up really loving it. It was, I think it was, you know, fate or whatever that, you know, led me to the people that I met in the first couple weeks of being there, who really believed in me and who really, like, everything happens for a reason, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And all of my cards and my, you know, ducks were all lined up. Like, you know, it was just everything kind of fell into place. So it was actually the first place that I actually felt like I really fit in life. Aww. With a group of people. So it was a pretty, special. Yeah, amazing feeling to be there.
Yeah. Who was the very first person you sat down to write with there? Do you remember?
Oh, man. Oh, who was the first person I sat down to write with? Maybe it was Casey Twist, I think, was my first write. And so Casey, he was a bass player for Stoney LaRue, who's a big Texas artist. Mm-hmm. And he has written with a ton of people like Ashley McBride. And
he did quite a few of hers, yeah.
So he's just, you know, he was a pretty great writer. And so he was one of the first people I wrote with. And then Channing Wilson, and he wrote like Luke Combs, She Got the Best of Me, and some other songs for artists as well. So it was pretty, you know, the people that I was writing with when I first moved there had some, you know, merit to their name, you mm-hmm. know.
That must have been pretty awesome. Was there anybody that you can remember that you were just absolutely petrified when you got into the room with them?
I mean, all of them, I think, because I was typically used to writing by myself. I had went to Nashville probably about 4 years previous to that. That was kind of like my first taste of it. So it was kind of, you know, I kind of had that experience a little bit under my belt. But these writers that I was writing with were, I looked up to them so much that it took a while for me to adjust to writing with these people until I finally got there. And then I was like, okay, but I still get nervous when I go in to write.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You come by it so naturally. And I think it's just, you remind me so much of Taylor Swift that way.
Oh, thank you.
And then when you can sit down and write so easily and it just comes, you know, with that authenticity that is just everybody would die for, you know, to be able to write like that. So you've got that quality and you still just that personality too. When you can see it, it's just so, I don't know. I'm a big fan. That's all I can say.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, you write so many uplifting songs that are full of courage and that you find that positive way to be able to deliver life's experiences. And that's not very easy to do, because when you go through the history of music and being able to write about love and being able to write about life, just trying to find a different way to do that than somebody else hasn't done, it's got to be hard as a writer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. It depends on the day, I guess, and the song and the idea. But yeah, you always definitely got to be aware of that.
Absolutely. I know that it's really important for people to be able to hear the story that's behind the lyrics. And that's just something that you do so easily. Now,
thank you.
Who are the main influences to you personally today that are singing in your genre right now?
Oh, man. I love true storytellers and songwriters. I mean, I'm more of like a singer-songwriter. I like to listen to really sad music. Mm-hmm. I love Jason Isbell. He's just an amazing writer. I still love Leanne Womack. I still put her on every now and then because I just think she's so great. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is that when you kind of get into the mindset of writing for yourself, the music that you focus on is yours, because mm-hmm. you want to know what song that you're going to release next. And then I also listen to my husband, Eric Etheridge's, because I mean, we're always kind of, I mean, sometimes he cuts my song. So I want to hear how they sound, but you know, you just kind of focus on what you're doing because you really want to make sure that what you're putting out into the world, the next project you're going to put out into the world is a great piece of art that you think people will want to listen to.
Mm-hmm. And I think you do it so well, so
thank
well.
You.
And congratulations. We'll say it now. We were going to say it later, but congratulations on your marriage with both you and Eric, because Eric is
thank
a really
you.
Good friend of both of ours.
And
he's such a sweetheart, and you know, you couldn't have picked a nicer guy.
I know, I'm so lucky.
Hang on a second. He couldn't have picked a nicer girl.
I was
going
to say, he's pretty lucky too. He's pretty lucky too. Like, you two just seem so sweet together. And, you know, it's just when you see, and your little baby, your dog, what's the dog's name?
Oh, Luna.
Luna. Luna looks exactly like our dog.
Oh, no way.
Yep, identical color.
It's her perfect whittle fur nugget.
Do you guys say that, or are you quoting Eric?
Oh, he's quoting Eric.
I'm quoting your Instagram photo.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny, because we literally, because we call her that all the time. I was like, do you guys call your dog?
No. We don't call her that.
Perfect whittle fur nugget.
Ours is a little Mokey, is who she is. Okay. So,
cute. Mocha. So cute.
She's a sweetie, but I couldn't believe it when I was watching the movie. That's the same dog. They got the exact same dog, same size, same dog, same face.
Wow. Crazy.
And she's sitting in the corner looking at me right now going, what are you talking about? Yeah. She's like, you're saying my name. There's no banana involved with that.
And you're not touching me. Why aren't you touching me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who is your very favorite songwriter?
Very favorite songwriter. Ooh, that's really hard. I mean, I still love like the old songwriters, you know, like Dolly and Willie Nelson. But you know what, though? I don't know.
It's got to be a song that sticks out for you and the reasons why you were drawn to it.
Okay, so one of my favorite country songs is When I Get Where I'm Going by Brad Paisley and Dolly Parton singing harmony on it. Hmm. And one of the songwriters that wrote that song was Rivers Rutherford. And I've played on stage with Rivers Rutherford, and I've written with Rivers. And he is one of the most amazing songwriters I have ever written with. Like, just the way that he is able to blend words together, it's really like art. He is just so clever and so great. We've written some really great songs together, and he's just one of the most talented people I've ever met.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful song, too.
It is. Yeah. Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
It is. I mean, and he's written songs like, Tim McGraw's Real Good Man.
Oh, yes. I love that
song. So he also writes like, you know, catchy whatever songs as well. So, and then like Smoke Rings in the Dark by Gary Allen. So, I mean, he's written huge, massive songs, and he's just, you know, probably one of my favorite writers. Him and Liz Rose, because Liz Rose has written, she wrote all the Taylor Swift first CD songs, Little Big Town's Girl Crush. So she's also amazing too.
I always like to bring up the songwriters simply for the fact that because so many people just relate the song to the artist that's singing it and don't realize who the songwriters are. And it's so important that we give light to them, because without them, you know, the songs wouldn't be there. And that's why it's so important what you do too. And, you know, doing your own songs and what that means to you.
Totally. Oh, yeah, 100%. Like songwriters, you know, some people don't even know that songwriters are a thing, you know.
I know. It's like, it's crazy. It's kinda,
yeah, it's crazy. It's so crazy. Especially because, like you were saying, like without that song that, you know, you had your first dance to at your wedding to, or you cried to when, you know, somebody you loved passed away, or like, you know, you listen to for a memory. It's, you know, that was written by a songwriter, not by the artist. So
I think that's like one thing that, you know, we say today is like, you know, our parents and our grandparents sat around a radio when they were younger. They didn't have the TVs. I know the TV came in, you know, I guess when my mom was first married, but prior to that, you know, they all sat around a radio, and that was their family time. And it was around, you know, sitting and listening to music. That's what drew families together.
Yeah,
and, you know, people never really heard much at all back then about who the songwriter was. It was just the artist's voice that they listened to, and that's what they remember. But, you know, it's these storytellers that have that magic, like you said, to be able to blend harmonies and music together and just have those words just flow so easily. Association's Discovery Artist Competition, the program. Now, I know that was a huge game changer for you in your career. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was. The crazy part about that is that the email to that, to like, you know, apply for it was sent to my junk mail.
Oh, no so way.
Looking through my junk mail. Yeah, I was looking through my junk mail, thank goodness, one day. And I was like, oh, I don't think I'm going to apply for this. And so I applied for it, and, you know, you have to send in a bunch of things. And then I sent in some videos and songs and pictures and website and all that stuff. And you know, they called me and they're like, you're in the top 16. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And they're like, well, we still have to narrow it down to 6 people. And so I was like, okay. And then I was like, you know, because I was so used to losing competitions that I just never thought I was going to get in. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, it just maybe they put my name out there. So, you know, a month later, they called me, the president, John Green, and he's like, Kelsey, you know, congratulations, you got in the CCMA Discovery Award program. And I was like, what? And he started crying. It was so cool. And so, you know, we go to Toronto, we meet with a bunch of people that teach us about just the music industry in general. Mm-hmm. And it's a week long, and it was an amazing experience. And, you know, then that was, I think that's in May. And then the CCMAs are in September. So then you have to wait, you know, you basically go through, I think they kind of are like watching you the whole week. Mm-hmm. And then you got to do these interviews and do these video submissions throughout the rest of the like couple months in between. And then you got to do like kind of like an essay of what the whole thing meant to you. And then you got to talk with a panel of judges after, and then you got to, they ask you questions, and, you know, it's just kind of it. And then the, and
that
then,
had well, to have been nerve wracking that
oh,
part.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I was sweating like dripping bullets. Aww. It was, and then you go to the CCMAs, and then you do your performance. Everybody does the performance on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And
that had to have been a huge moment right there.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. I sang my song More Time. And
I love that song.
Thank you so much. Song. Thank you. And I like walked down into the audience. My grandpa was there, and I was crying when I was singing it, and everybody in the audience was crying. And it was a really cool moment. And then Saturday was the night where they
made the announcement, tell
who the winner is. And actually Eric Etheridge was the one who passed the award to me.
I remember.
And, yeah. And so it's so funny because like we didn't really know each other. We had written, I think, together once. He came to Nashville and he reached out, and we had written together once. So we really didn't know each other, right? Mm-hmm. But my aunt, who was there, because my whole family actually came to that dinner. They bought tickets.
Aww.
And because they're all from Saskatchewan. And so it was a big moment for all of us. And Eric was the one that, you know, gave me the hug when I got up on stage and he passed me the award. And my aunt was sitting there, and I don't know, we always kind of call her like a witch, because she said to herself, she's kind of psychic or something. She always like, when she always says things that happen before they happen.
Yeah. And so she like, predicted?
She leans over to my mom. She's like, they're going to get married. And my mom was like, what? She's like, no. And
did she tell Eric that?
Yeah. I did eventually, because she didn't tell me until after she knew that we got together. But she told my mom and my other aunt. And so, yeah, you know, but that was a huge day, because earlier that day was when I won the Olay on the Spot, which was the record and publishing deal down in Nashville, Tennessee. So earlier that day I'd won that, and I had to sing a song, and it was like, basically there's 12 people that sing. And then after everybody's done singing, the group goes into the back room, they decide, and then they come out and then they announce the name. So I won that afternoon, and then the CCMA Discovery Award in the evening. So it was
crazy.
A day full of a lot of emotions. It was just almost too much, but I was very, very grateful.
Oh, it had to be so overwhelming. So those two wins absolutely changed everything for you. And that's when you went to Anthem Records and Olay Label Group, because that's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, because you won them both. So that was awesome. And that's what led you to your self-titled debut album.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that there's one song that, well, there's a, God, I should say, everyone off of this one I really love. There's just something so special about this album.
Thank you.
And I know Bad Liar is just one that, it's such a great song. I could play that one again and again. And I know More Time is one we're going to talk about a little bit later. We'll play it first and then we'll come back and talk.
Okay.
So this is Bad Liar.
It ain't hard to see you with her all the time. It's been easy trying to get you off of my mind. These ain't tears, it's just black rain falling from the sky, landing on my face. I ain't drinking to forget you. I just like to taste the wine. I don't miss you like I thought.
From 2019, that is Bad Liar from Kelsey Kulik. Love the groove on that. Trying to imagine if rain was black, what the world would be like at this time. You can check out Music's Journey on Facebook at Music's Journey Podcast. Check out all our podcasts on our website, musicsjourney.com, or nowandthenmagazine.com for all the latest news and information on your favorite singers and bands. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey Podcast with your special guest. Here is Kim Sear and a gal who apparently not only owns a dog, but ducks as well, and she likes to line them up.
See, if Eric was listening to this, he'd be going, oh, John.
I can hear him now.
That's what he'd be saying.
I can hear him now.
Oh, dear. Not much I can do about that. There's just, you know, I say that in every interview lately, I'm telling you. Bad Liar was such a fun song for you. It's just about enjoying life and not taking your life too seriously. And it was just such a great song and brilliantly written.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. When I wrote that song with Lainey Wilson down in Nashville, it was probably the first year that I lived in Nashville that I wrote that song. And, you know, we just kind of wanted to write an up-tempo fun song. And it was kind of just like a sassy song, you know, like, you know, everything's good and I'm a bad liar. Walked into the room and she's like, I have this title called Good Liar. And I was like, well, I'm not really a good liar, Lainey. So what about Bad Liar? You know, just kind of being like, you know, telling it like it is and just kind of being sassy and fun with it. And so we wrote the song pretty quickly. And when we were going in for the record a year later, everybody was like, you know what? We really like this song. We think a lot of people will too. And so we put it on there. It was the second last song that we recorded. And yeah, people ended up really liking it. It was the first single to radio.
And look how well it did for the views for video.
Thanks.
It did so, so well. Like, that song was streamed a lot. And, you know, I said it's one of my favorite songs. And, you know, when you watch the video, you can just see the difference in you. And mm-hmm. could you tell then, too, what your writing was like then?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was like, I mean, it was such a huge, huge jump, I feel like, from Rewind to that. Mm-hmm. When I went to Nashville, I definitely had more confidence in pretty much everything. So it was, it was definitely a huge jump.
How important is it for you to find your authentic self?
Oh, 100%. You got to be who you are.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to believe you if you don't believe yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like as soon as this album came out. It was 100% you.
Oh, yeah. I was so proud of this record because it was the first time that I released something that I truly 100% believed in. I feel like every song on there, you know, was relatable. I felt like it was like me as well. And I just like, and I felt like it was the first time that I felt like I was really, really saying something, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Really, really good message, too.
There is something in the video that I thought is so unique, and it really got my attention, and that is the imagery of black rain. Who came up with that idea?
That was the director, actually. So, yeah, because it's like, you know, these ain't tears. It's just black rain, and it's you're talking about your mascara running mm-hmm. because you're crying so hard, right? And he was just like, it was so funny because the makeup artist like ruined one of his mascaras because he just like mixed it with water and then he just like splashed it onto my face.
I was sitting there watching the video going, she had to hold her face really, really still to make sure that when her eyes are wide open, like make sure that lands in the right spot.
I know. I was like, please don't get it in my eye.
That's right. But the song was so good, and I still think there's so many fans that may not have seen it. I really hope they do, because you know it's such a great song, and the video is just absolutely brilliant. So I think this is just one that's going to last for a very long time.
Thank you.
Very, very long time. Off this album as well, like this was your debut album, your self-titled album, Damn You Love. This was released in October 2019, and this one was such a very important message. So this is Damn You Love by Kelsey Cooley.
Did you make him smile? Did you cue the band? Did you pick that song so I don't want to dance? Did you get him up from where he sat and make him look at me like that? Did you know I'd melt from just one kiss? He's doing everything I've missed and saying falling hard, man, you good. Well, I've got scars to prove that you're no good for me. You never live up to who you're supposed to be. I run from you, but never fast enough. Damn you. You're no good to me.
From the fall of 2019, that is Kelsey Kulick and Damn You Love. Now back to Music's Journey podcast with Kim Sear and a gal who is related to a witch. Here is Kelsey Kulick.
Holy cow. You can kill him after, you know, you know, Eric will let you do that. Eric will do that for me, won't you, Eric? Now, this song is very, very personal, I think. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, you know, and well, actually, Damn You Love was a song that I wrote with Liz Rose. And so she was, you know, one of my idol songwriters since I was 16 years old. And it was pretty cool to get into a room with her, but it was just an idea. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're kind of done with love. You know, it's beaten you up pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want any more of it. And then, you know, somebody comes into your life and they're like, hey, I'm going to love you. And you can't help but resist it, because who doesn't want to actually be in love? You know, it's the best feeling in the world. And so that's what the song is about.
Yeah, because it talks about the scars that you have. You know that it's not good for you, but I've got the scars to prove that this wasn't a good love and it was time to let it go, right? And this song is just such a song that so many people can relate to in their lifetime, because everybody's got them, right? Everybody's got those ones that what we hold on to and we think is good for us. And, you know, because you want to be loved, you want to be accepted, and you want to make it work, I think is the problem, is that, you know, you don't get out of it soon enough because you're too busy trying to make it work instead of just realizing it's just not good for you.
Yeah.
We're going to play one song that, you know, is very special to me. And it's a song that was so emotional for me and touched me. Yeah, I had goosies after this one, but it made me cry. It's such an emotional song for me. And so I want to be able to play that right now. It's called More Time by Kelsey Kulick.
I recall one day my daddy called me on the phone. Said grandpa wasn't feeling well and he shouldn't be alone. So I decided I was going to visit him that day. I pulled up to park and he was waiting. So I walked in back inside. He sat on the sofa with some tears in his eyes. I had never seen him cry, so I asked him what was wrong. He just said, I can't believe it's taken me this long. I wish I loved a little more and worried much more less. I wish I crossed more boxes off my Sunday bucket list. I wish I planned the things in life that I meant to do.
beautiful song, More Time, and a cute video that goes along with that song as well. Check it out. Now back to the Music's Journey podcast with your host, Kim Sear, and a gal who loves to remind people to check your junk mail. Here is Kelsey Kulik.
Now, when we talk about this song, do you really take a lot of your own personal experiences, you know, for songs like this?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a true personal song because when I was living down in Nashville, my dad called me to let me know that my grandpa had been diagnosed with cancer and he had about 3 months to live. And so that was where the song was inspired from. And I mean, after I got off the phone with my dad, my grandpa called me and he didn't say anything about, you know, the diagnosis that he got. All he said was that he wished he had more time to spend with me.
Oh, because that's, you know, that was the one that you played at the show. And I think that's the one that stuck out in my mind. And it reminded me so much because I just lost my dad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At that time. And, you know, it just floodgate. I had to go into the other room and I was like, okay, I was supposed to be coming out and shooting this. And I couldn't shoot for like 5 minutes. It hit me that hard.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it was a good thing. It was a good thing because that one I played, you know, quite a bit after. And as I said, it's a very important song and I think it touches so many people. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is, but I think all of us, especially throughout this last year too, just want more time and, you know, how valuable that time is. And it was such a beautiful song that you wrote there. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. What is your favorite song that you've written so far? And it might not be released yet.
You know what? Oh, man. What is my favorite song I've released so far? I think probably the one that I haven't released yet, actually. So it's, I think if we're going to put it on the next record. And it's called You and Me. And it is like the one song out of a couple thousand that's actually like a true happy love song. There's still a bit of sadness in there. But yeah, it's...
So we can look forward to that one coming.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, honestly. It's just, I think it could be like one of, like a wedding song or something. It's just, obviously I wrote it about Eric, but it's a super honest one. It's probably one of my most honest songs that I've written, and I just love it so much.
Can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah.
That would be so nice to be able to. Well, when you are releasing that one, we're going to bring you back, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'd love to be able to hear that one. Everything you write, I absolutely love.
Thank you.
I just think that, you know, if the world doesn't know you, they're going to know you now. You know?
Oh, thank you so much.
What did it feel like to be nominated for the CCMA? Oh.
Well, I definitely didn't not cry. It was pretty amazing, actually. It was just, you know, you put your heart and soul into your work and then it, you know, gets recognized the way that it does. And I mean, the CCMA Roots Album of the Year, that's 100% what I wanted for this record, because I just like think, you know, it was honest. It touched a lot of people. And it just was me. And it also, I felt like it just spoke to people and it was them too. So, I mean, if this album gets I feel like it, you know, it just was the album that I wanted to make. And it was that, you know, it got what I felt it deserved anyways.
Well, we are rooting for you. We are really, rooting for you on this one, because this is such an authentic album. And I'm really hoping that people, you know, download it, stream it and share it, because it is just such a good, good album. And
thank you,
you
so
should
much.
Be so proud of your work on this. Really proud of your work.
Thank you.
What was the best advice Richard ever gave you?
Know who you are.
You Perfect.
Know, and also work hard and then work some more and eventually you're going to get there. So, he always gave me a bunch of gold for advice. So I'm sure I could write a book on it.
Well, you probably have so much in ways of picking out songs now, because you've got like a body of work, I'm sure, by now to choose from.
Oh my gosh. It's overwhelming sometimes, to be honest with you.
How hard was it to pick the songs for this album?
It was really hard, actually, because I had so many great songs that, I mean, I loved, And this next one that we're going to be doing is even harder. We're picking songs tomorrow, actually, and I'm nervous about it. So it's it's just, you know, picking songs is really extremely hard because you don't know if you're picking the right ones, and you're like, oh man, what if, you know, I'm doing the wrong thing and not doing one of these?
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is the message you want to give with your album, and when do you think that one's going to be released?
This record, I think, is going to be like a lot more freeing. I'm excited for this one. It's because it's a little bit of a change as well. Like the direction is a little bit of a change, not too much because I'm going to keep my roots and stuff, but the production's going to be changed from the first record to the second record. But I'm excited for this one because I think people are going to be probably a little bit surprised, but
good.
I also think that it's going to open up the fan base to more of an audience. So I'm really excited.
It sounds good because, like I said, you've transitioned so much and shown such growth and really honed in your skills incredibly, you know, with this album.
You.
So I can't wait to see what the next one's about. That's going to be
Thank
so exciting.
You. Yeah, I know. I'm so excited.
So 2019, 2020, like I know this year hasn't been an easy year, you know, for you guys in any way, shape or form. And for a lot of artists out there, you know, 2019, 2020 is arguably like the most important, I would think, years of your professional career, right?
Well, I mean, I would say so, because I think 2020 is the year that, you know, it weeds out some people. You know, you really have to be creative during this time because, you know, everybody's on the same playing field right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, because nobody is allowed to play shows. Nobody is allowed to go on radio tour to do anything. And so, you know, it's, you know, people can't even write in the same room together. You have to write over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's literally just been eye awakening. And when the pandemic first hit, you know, Eric and I were like, what are we going to do? It was just so stressful.
Well, he lost like 60 tour date, right?
Yeah, we lost both of us together, lost all of our income on the same day.
Huge.
It was, we're like, how are we going to make money? How are we going to survive for the next 2 years? Because 2020 is, you know, they say that, you know, there should be a vaccine, you know, by October or whatever, but like, but that's in the US. And then also it takes time to see if the vaccine works. Like, I mean, music is going to be the last thing that comes on. Eric, because of his like medical background, and he knows a lot about pandemics and stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, he said it from the beginning what was going to happen. He has been right so far. So he's like, no, we're not going to be coming back until 2022. Like that's when everything's going to be.
And I agree with him. I agree with him with my medical background too, because it's just like I've been around too much, you know, when it comes to working with SARS and so many of the others. And, you know, it's just, this is the way it's going to be for the next little while, especially over this flu season coming. And you guys found a very, very unique way to do this, and a very difficult thing for you guys to do, but it's just been so much fun to watch. And tell everybody about what you're doing with your love tour.
Tell everybody about how crazy we are.
Yeah, okay. You're not crazy, you're smart.
So I've lived in Nashville for 3 years and Eric had lived there for one. And when the pandemic hit, we lost all of our income. He lost all the shows. I lost all my festival dates and show dates. And our gap pay for our publishing deals, like we're still signed to our publishing deals, but we lost our gap pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lost all of our income on the same day. And we literally didn't know how we were going to pay for anything. We had just gotten married.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, we were super excited about being married, but like, what?
Challenge right off the top.
Of stress. Exactly. What an insane amount of stress to put on, you know, a marriage. It's just like, I mean, Eric and I are really good and really supportive of each other, but we were both so stressed out and just freaking out. And so, you know, there was a lot of tears and deciding on what we're going to do, but we both knew that we had to move out of Nashville because we couldn't afford to live there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my grandma was visiting us when the pandemic hit down in Nashville. Eric was on tour. Eric called me. He's like, you got to get grandma home. You got to get out of the States. Well, sure enough, we're driving back home and they're like, they're closing the borders tomorrow. So we actually drove, because my grandma's in northern Saskatchewan in Hudson Bay. So we drove to Sarnia because we wanted to get through the border.
Right.
And because we didn't know really what was going to happen. That was really at the beginning of it. And so we were in Sarnia for about 3 weeks. Then because we couldn't get back through the border because my grandma didn't have like a work visa. She only had her passport. Drove around the Great Lakes, dropped her off in Saskatchewan. It was a 37-hour drive one way.
Wow.
We stayed there for a couple weeks just to kind of get our bearings and, you know, relax after that drive. We drove back across the Great Lakes and, you know, we're just kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do. We were stressed out. And there's this beautiful little pull-off area in between Wawa and Sault Ste. Marie, and it was called Old Woman Bay. Now, if you ever have an opportunity.
I know that place.
It is like Jurassic Park. It's so beautiful. It's
I
like
know where
amazing.
That is.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And so we pulled off there. We stopped, and I was just like, oh, it was just like that moment of just peace, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of like chaos. And I was like, oh, it would be so nice if we had the time to just stay here for a couple of days. Eric had had his touring van that we were in at the time, and it was a lot, you know, of a crappier van, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it got us back and forth, which was great. And so I was like, well, you know, we should just stay in the van for a couple of nights. We couldn't, but that's kind of what I wanted to do. And then we stayed there for 10 more minutes, and then we got in the car and left again. And he's like, we should do that. And I was like, what? He's like, we should do that. I was like, do what? He's like, you know, like, live in a van. And I was like, hey, I said 2 days. I didn't say for like 2 years. And so, and then, you know, we ended up talking more about it. And I've always kind of been like a hippie child, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. We're living in a van, and we decided to put a stage on the roof of it. It's a Ford Transit van. It's a big one. We put a bed, there's a kitchen, you know, a sitting area, and we put all of our music equipment underneath it. Well, first of all, before we did that, we moved out of Nashville and sold all of our things, so all of our vehicles and everything, and got the money for that and bought the van. And then we got it outfitted by a company in Calgary, Alberta called True North Custom Campers, and they did the whole building of the inside. It's absolutely beautiful. It's so beautiful. And we just have done our 12th show yesterday.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, we've been busy. Like, we did a ton of shows in Alberta and Saskatchewan, BC, and now we're in Ontario for a few weeks. And we're going to be going back out west, playing some more shows. We've literally just kind of turned this whole, you know, disadvantage into the best case scenario for us, because, you know, we can tour together. Mm-hmm. We can, you know, do what we love and spread positivity at the same time, which is really the best case scenario.
So are you playing acoustic sessions?
Yep.
Is that what you're doing?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So we're doing kind of like Nashville songwriter rounds. We both sit on the stage of the roof of our van. We have our mics up there, and then the speakers are on the, you know, on the ground, and we play our show, and it's just really cool.
People must absolutely love it, because I know that, I think it was only July when I saw it, you know, people were downtown Toronto, they were out west, you know, and out in the East Coast, going up and down the main streets there with signs just saying, don't take our music, our music's life. And that's when I was talking about, you know, our grandparents sitting around, you know, the radio and trying to listen when they were going through war times.
Yeah.
And that's what brought the family together to get through, you know, all that they were going through, you know, with the bombs around them and stuff that was going on. And everybody off to war. So today we're kind of just going back in time and doing something that, you know, was just done in a different generation. And, you know, people being able to listen to music and gather together. And you guys have found a way to do it safely.
Absolutely. And, yeah, no, it's been so great. People have been so grateful, and they just loved it. So it's been amazing.
Oh, that's a good journey for you guys. A really great journey for you guys. I don't know how good it would be in your marriage being in the van. Like that.
You know what? Eric and I have spent every day together since the pandemic has started. We have not spent a day without each other, which has kind of spoiled us. We, like, honestly, ever since we met each other, even just as friends, we always loved being around each other. Like, it was just,
well,
you know, we were
good.
Just like, we were like stuck together like glue, even like we didn't know it. It was just this connection, and we 100% love being around each other. And the van it's totally fine. We actually don't mind it at all.
Well, that's good, because, you know, a lot of people, when we first get married, especially when you're in the music industry and you're both musicians, right? You're on tour and you're separate, and then you enjoy that time you come back to see each other. But to be doing it together, you know, every single day, you know, sometimes people wouldn't be able to handle that. But it's so nice to hear, because you guys just got married, and such a huge change you guys have gone through. So if you can get through this, you can get through anything.
I know, that's what we said.
That's right.
We're like, man, if we could get through this, which we did pretty seamlessly, we could get through pretty much anything together. So Eric and I, we really have so much love and respect for each other, and we just love to be around each other seriously all the time. It's like, you know, we both feel just really lucky that we get to have this time together, because we would have been spending most of the year apart, which we hated. We actually don't like being apart at all. So
can you imagine if you didn't get back over the border?
Oh yeah, no, that'd be horrible.
Yeah. So that's so grateful that you were able to do that.
And during this pandemic, pets are getting so spoiled.
Oh my gosh. Luna is going to be a stress case afterwards, because, you know, she gets full-time attention. She's never alone.
Exactly.
So it's just, oh my gosh, I'm not looking forward to her separation anxiety, but thankfully she won't have to have it for a little while, because we're all going to be in the van together.
That's right.
Getting more and more spoiled.
What are you guys doing after the awards? Are you still traveling?
Yeah, we're still going to be doing it. We're going to be, because we have our O-1 visa, so we can actually get across the border.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So we're going to go down into the States. We're going to go into California and maybe
Perfect.
Even Florida, and just kind of enjoy the nice weather until Christmas, come back up, spend some time with both our families, and then go back down again.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Because when we first released Love on the Road, because you can go to loveontheroad.ca to book a show, and we got 80 requests, and some of them were in the States to play shows for people.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. It's pretty great, actually.
Well, we're going to have to remind everybody at the end of the show for that, too, because we want to make sure that everybody knows where they can reach you. Now, there's one song, your latest single, that we want to talk about, and it's, you know, such a beautiful song. And we're going to play that one for you right now, and that's called Who I Was.
When I met you, it's like you stole all of my breath. Like a wildfire, you consumed me till there was nothing left. Played house for a while till you burned the whole house down. And I thought it was my fault. It was me who let us down. Thought it was love, but it wasn't. Guess I messed up. Killed me, if I'm honest. Thought it was love.
From the summer of 2020, Kelsey Kulik and Who I Was. Now back to Music's Journey, the podcast with Kim Sear and her special guest, one artist who has spent more time on the road than any other artist, except for one, this past year during the pandemic. Here is Kim and Kelsey together.
I don't know.
I love it.
He's good. All right. So this song here, I know it's got to be pretty personal for you.
Yeah, this song is, I was like crying writing this song. Actually, I wrote it with Jeff Trott. He's the producer of Sheryl Crow and wrote a bunch of her hits. And, this song, I actually didn't have an idea when I walked into the room, but then I just kind of had like this, it just kind of came to me all at once. And we wrote the song in like 45 minutes. And, it's about, trying to be somebody else for the person that you love, because, you think that they're going to love you more if you change for them. And, I always think that, if it's changing in a bad way or, changing what makes you sparkle, for somebody, because, whether they're whoever, who knows what reason it is, it's just, it's not okay. Whether it's a group of friends or if it's a loved one or something like that, it's just, the best policy is always to be who you are and to never let anyone dim your light.
Exactly. I think that it really rang home for me, and just personal experiences that I've had, because I, to be the best person that you can be sometimes takes away from your authentic self. I think we're always supposed to be kind and caring to one another, but it's such an important part of my life. And when you're always trying to please somebody to get that kind of love back, it's just not a good thing, being your authentic self. So I think this latest single, I think it's just such a home run for so many people.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's done really well so far, this song. And you never know what song it's going to be. You write. And then, you have a song that people just love. And this song has been that for people, because I feel like everybody's gone through this in their life where they've changed for someone in one way or the other. And then they've realized, hey, like, I am not the person that I used to be. And I miss that person. Like, why am I not that person anymore? You know? And that's happened to me so many times. And it's just, it was kind of like a coming to a realization that, I am stronger. Like, I'm not going to allow somebody to take away my power because they're uncomfortable, And that's kind of what this song is about.
Do you think that has such a profound, message for, there's so many teens today that go through so much when it comes to social media and, the kind of backlash that they get and the bullying that they get with the teen suicide? Like, this one has been really hitting home a lot with those kids and not being able to be seen for who they are, because, people can be pretty cruel when it comes to the other side of social media. And
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think that this one has helped out a lot of people, reminding them it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks, as long as you are your authentic self and you are the best person that you can be for yourself. That's all you need. And I think that's what I've heard a lot with this song.
So. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just, so many people are, even when it comes to political, sides, like the difference of opinion, the most important thing really is we're all pitted against each other, and we're all kind of we're always just against each other and at each other's throats. And I think the thing that we need to get back to realizing is that, hey, we're all just people. We all make mistakes. We all have our difference of opinion, but that's okay. Everybody's allowed to think how they want, as long as you're not hurting someone else. Like, be who you are and let everybody be who they are and get on with your day. Life isn't that bad,
Exactly. Because I think this year, so many people have been able to, spend more quality time with their family than ever before. And, other people that have been kept away from their family. So they've really learned, I think, a lot of what value should be today, and what the simple things in life are. And, that's such an important message to give, because, hard times are always here. And it's not, you know, that there isn't good times. Those hard times is what creates our character. And that's what we look back on and saying, you know what, how did I handle that? Did I look to the good in that moment? And you've been through those times. And, you know, when you look to the good in the moment, you really do learn from it. And it doesn't take you down. It actually builds you up. And it actually makes you much, much stronger and being able to handle life and a lot more happier if people just lived a simple life.
Totally.
So I think that this song is just such a brilliant song. And I know that it's just going to keep on going. It's going to be one of those ones, perfect time for releasing it. And, you know, for people to be able to just sit back and remember what life's truly about. We come into this world one way, same way, and we go out, you know, the same way. So we're, nobody's any different than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
And that's just the way you have to look at it. You co-wrote the song with Jeff. Is there anything that he gave you any advice on?
No, not really, actually. It was just, it was a pretty quick write. We never really knew each other that well, but, you know, we just wrote this song together and he didn't really say anything, you know, much. Because when you're writing in the room with songwriters, it's kind of a different experience. You're kind of on the same playing field and you just kind of focus on the song, you know, and especially when you've never met the person before, it's kind of like at first you kind of get to know each other a little bit, but you really just kind of focus on the song.
Yeah, I know that the Canadian writers, like in the Canadian artists, really pull for each other on both sides of the border. Like I've never seen that kind of friendship and brother and sisterhood like there is amongst, you know, your peers in the music industry like there is here in Canada. How much has that meant to you?
Yeah, you know, people are really supportive. I mean, I think that's every world be in this together, you know, and especially to have that kind of, it's like a little bit of a taste of home when you're hanging around your Canadian friends. So it's always super wonderful to be able to hang out with, you know, my home country peeps and just kind of talk about the struggles of living in the U.S. and all that stuff and all the good times as well. So it's always good to have a little bit of home wherever you go.
Well, you got to be excited to be able to be coming up to the CCMAs that are on September 27th, being up for Roots Album of the Year. You'll be able to catch up with everybody on that. But congratulations on your nomination. You know,
Thank you, as you said,
such a special, special one for you with this album. And we can't wait. And we're really, really hoping and pulling for you.
Thank you so much.
Also performing at the CMA Ontario Awards. You're also performing this year too. So that's another big one.
Yes, I am performing at the CMAs, which is really cool because that was never, I mean, I never thought that I would ever be doing that, but I'm really excited to be involved with them. So I can't
wait. Cause he's up for three awards.
Yeah. Eric is. Yeah. He's I mean, I'm obviously really pulling for him because obviously I'm a huge fan of him. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be exciting to be there with him.
Yeah, because we haven't seen him, I think, in 2 years. Oh, no, sorry, last year. Yeah, because he came out to do a very special performance. So
nice.
Yeah, which was really, really nice of him to do, because I think he came in from Nashville for that.
He did. He flew in. Yeah. He was in November.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
So now we're going to get into the fun question and answer part of the, I don't know if it's fun for everybody, but I tend to stump a lot of people. But anyway, this is what we do when we just give a little bit of information to the fans that, you know, is a little bit more about you. So
yeah,
what you do is you fill in the blanks to a word, to what it means to you, or finish the sentence, you know, in your own way to what it means to you. Okay.
Okay.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Biggest career hurdle.
Biggest career hurdle. Well, 2020, the pandemic, I would say.
I would think so. That one's a big one. Okay, so self-awareness is?
I would say that I always try to be true.
Now, love is?
Amazing.
Favorite road tune right now that you can't get enough of?
Right now, it's actually Eric's song that he hasn't released, and it's a song that I wrote because he just sings it amazingly, and that is, it's called No Good Love, but it's going to be on his record that he's coming out with right away here.
Oh, awesome. Biggest life lesson?
To always be yourself and never change for anyone.
Life would be empty without?
Music.
Yay. Favorite pizza?
I love just a straight cheese. Like, I love white pizza, and there's actually this one amazing restaurant down in Nashville. It's called Five Points, and their pizza, they have this four cheese pizza, and it is just, it's called the Bianca, and it is insane. It is so good.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. Gonna have to remember that one. Mm-hmm. Bucket list.
To play on the Grand Ole Opry stage.
I think that one's going to happen.
Well, thank
Without
you.
Without question, I think that one's going to happen. If there was an artist that you could do a duet with, besides Eric, that you would love to do that's current today in any genre, who would it be and why?
Dolly Parton, just because she's been a huge influence in my life. And she's just an amazing artist.
Awesome. What would be a song on your playlist right now that would shock us?
Song that would shock you. I don't even know. I don't even know that I guess I listen to some Daft Punk every now and then. So maybe that
would do it. What is your favorite road trip munchie?
Oh, I love jalapeno and cheddar chips.
Ooh, yummy. What about Eric?
Beef jerky.
John's got his thumbs up.
Yes. There's a pepper flavored beef jerky that is just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And in southern BC, we found a bacon flavored beef jerky.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, both you and Eric partnered up with the Canadian Lung Association. And I know that's really important to you guys. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, they reached out to us and they asked us if we would want to do a song for them. And we said 100% absolutely. And so we wrote the song called Breathe Again, and they loved it. And everybody actually, there's a lot of people that really like it. I'm kind of surprised about it because it was one of those really, that song took me it was a very short time for me to write that song. It was like maybe 40 minutes. And
God, you're good.
You know, we've got it. Oh, thank you. No, it's just, we talked to the Lung Association and kind of what they were looking for. And it was just kind of, you know, pretty plain and simple to me what they wanted. And so I wrote it, and then, you know, Jimmy Thau from Sons of Daughters actually produced it, and, you know, we showed it to them and we did a little video and they loved it. So, you know, people are reaching out about that song saying, you know, they love the song. So it was kind of one of those surprises that the way that people are reacting to it, cause it just came out. But yeah, people are loving it so far.
Well, we really appreciate it. There's two of us in our own family, you know, that would really appreciate that song. And thank you guys for doing that. That's incredible. Now, remind everybody again where they can reach you guys and follow you on your Love on the Road tour.
Yeah, so you can follow us at Instagram at Love on the Road Official. Facebook is Love on the Road. And you can book a show with us at www.loveontheroad.ca. So, yeah, we're on all the social platforms. We have a YouTube page and called Love on the Road and everything. So
as soon as you guys are finished the awards, you're heading back into the States and people can request you to be able to come and play in their backyards, or, you know, they can, you know, make some kind of arrangements with the town so you guys can come in and play. So don't forget to check out Love on the Road Tour, and that's on Instagram. So you can request these guys to come and play. So that's Eric Etheridge and Kelsey Kulik. We really, really, really excited about that and really hope that you guys have a really great time for that.
Thank
now
you.
Just to remind everybody, you are again up for Roots of the Year Award, and that is at the CCMAs this year, and that is on September 27th, so everybody can catch that at 9 p.m. and that's Eastern Standard Time, and that's on Global. So we'll be watching out for that, and we'll be voting for you for sure. And
thank you.
Really rooting for that one. And then once again, you will be performing at the CMA Ontario Awards. Awards, and that is on October 4th. So Eric Etheridge, her husband, is going to be up for 3 awards that night, and Kelsey's going to be performing. So it's going to be a pretty amazing night as well. So we're really hoping for all the best for you both. And you've got some new music coming out again. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, the new music, I mean, we don't have a date set for it. I'm thinking it's probably going to be in the beginning of next year. So but we're picking the songs tomorrow. So we're really excited about it.
Yay. Well, we cannot wait, because you've done a fabulous job with this album, and just an artist to watch is all I can say. And I'm so happy to be able to be here and to be able to spend a little bit of time with you. And thank you for sharing that with us, because you've got such a special story and such a special journey. And we know we're just seeing the tip of that. Just seeing the tip of it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Today was awesome.
Mm-hmm. So we look forward to having you come back when you got your new music coming. So again, we want to thank Kelsey for taking the time today, and really hope that everybody tunes in, and we'll have all the links on the article as well for Now and Then Magazine, as well as Music's Journey. So we'll be able to catch up and see exactly what these two are up to on their love tour.
And please give Eric a big hug from both of us, okay?
That's correct.
I will.
Big hug for him, and give that little dog a big hug for us too.
Oh, absolutely, I will.
Okay, you take care, and thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys take care too.
Okay, good luck on the awards.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. What an incredible songwriter and an incredible singer. So such a talented girl. And she's up for her award for the CCMAs, and that's on September 27th at 9 p.m. on Global. You can see it then, and we're all rooting for her, and that's for the Roots Album of the Year. So such an important album and such a great album. If you haven't heard it, request it. If you haven't heard some of the songs, you always can request it at your local country station, and check out their Love on the Road tour, and that's on Instagram, so you can find them there, and also on all of their social media, which is pretty amazing. So again, thank you once again for Kelsey Kulick for coming and spending some time with us, and I so look forward to a brand new video release that's coming out, and a very special song from Jamie Warren. So you stay tuned for that, because that's being released on Friday this week. And, you know, this one, he just got married on the weekend. So there was a video that was shot that day. So it's a pretty special release date that we've got. And we've also got the Heels that are coming up as well. And that's on Wednesday. So we are looking forward to that and many more. So again, thank you very much for Kelsey for spending some time with us. And we'll see you on the flip side of Music's Journey.
Once again, thank you to Kelsey Kulick for being with us today. Don't forget, you spell her name K-A-L-S-E-Y Kulick. You've been listening to Music's Journey on musicsjourney.com. Please like us on Facebook, and please share us on all your socials. On our upcoming podcasts, we'll be chatting with The Heels, The Reclaws, The James Barker Band, pop duo Via Barcelona, Michelle Wright, Jason Blaine, Jesse T, Carrie DeMayer, Jade Eagleson, Tim Hicks, and so many more. Our theme music is titled I Can Tell, and is performed by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.